Well, good morning. Those that are in the foyer can be making their way in. It is great to see everyone this morning. Happy Father's Day. Great day to be in the house of God. Received a text message just a little while ago. Shanda DeLay's mother fell this morning. So she would like for us to be praying that there's nothing serious. And so we're going to open with a word of prayer. If everyone would stand, and then we are going to worship this morning. Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Father, Lord, for who you are. Lord, I am so grateful and thankful for my earthly father. And Lord, I'm thankful and grateful for my heavenly father. Lord, today, Father, we just lift up Shanda's mom. Touch her body. Heal her. Lord, we thank you, Father, the opportunity to come and lift you up and to worship you and to be grateful and thankful for who you are, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Who am I that you by your skin would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child. Not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
thank you, Father. We can declare that we are who you say we are. We stand in that confidence and that assurance that, Father, that we are created in your image, and all that you are, we are. And we worship you this morning.
Spend my days loving the one who
His love always triumphs. And he makes all things beautiful with his love, by his love, filling us with it, surrounding us with it. And we are so thankful. I know you're thankful. I'm thankful for that love that is constantly changing us and making everything beautiful in its time.
Just Thank you that we are made whole in your image, and that your mercies are new every morning, that when we fall, all we have to do is get back up and delight in the gifts that you give us every day, Father. Thank you so much. We love you. Amen.
Amazing, all three of those songs, just all it talks about is the Father's love, how much the Father loves us, how wonderful His love is. Isn't God good? Thank you. I got a couple of daddy cards to give out this morning, $50 gift certificate to Lowe's. I ain't got but two, so I'm just going to give one to Will Doss for being such a wonderful father and leader in this church. Thank you for all you do. You're a blessing. And Randy, I heard you talking about you selling your house and you're going to go get you a workshop. Take this and fill that workshop with some stuff. And says, Dad, you rock. That kind of fits you. You're an old rock and roller, aren't you? Yeah. You're a rock and roller. Let me get up here. I used to get up here quicker than that. How's everybody? Good. I want you to do something for me. Would you do that? My heart's a little overwhelmed today. I don't really know why, but it is. And would you just reach forth your hand toward me and just bless me today and pray for me? That. Thank you. My heart is full. Don't really know what it's all about, but I want to share with you today a message about the greatest Father of all, and that's the Father of the earth, the Father of all mankind, the Father that the Bible says every family in heaven and earth is named after. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? That's the scripture. Every family in heaven and earth is named after the Father in heaven. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. So I want you to pray like this: Our Father. Jesus made a statement one time, and when he did, I personally don't believe that this statement that Jesus said has really captured Christendom. I don't believe it has had the impact that it should have on Christianity. It's a simple statement, but I think it's been misinterpreted and misapplied and not taken for what Jesus was really saying. Jesus said this one time, no man can come to the Father except by me. No man can come to the Father except by me. The one thing that stands out in Christianity more than any other religion in the world is that we know God as our Father, not as some austere judge. That statement, mercy triumphs over judgment. You know Jesus made that statement? Mercy triumphs over judgment. I want you to say that because I want to share a principle, I want to share a truth really with you before I get into three words that we're going to talk about: restoration, renewing, and replenishing, because that's the Father's plan for the earth is to restore it, renew it, and replenish it. And it should be every father's heart in the natural is to restore, renew, and replenish. Restore, renew, and replenish. How many fathers have over your lifetime had to restore your children, renew your children, replenish? And I'll explain those words as we get more into it, if we get into it. I don't know if I'm going to finish this morning, to be honest with you, and it's okay. We got a long time to do that. A lot of things have changed over my lifetime. When I first began, and I was raised, and when I began the ministry, I believe, like a lot of people still believe today, that one day God's going to judge this world and he's going to burn it up. And There are scriptures that appear, says that. There are scriptures that appear. I was talking to someone today, and they had a necklace on and had some of their father's ashes in it. And she said, you know, I brought my father with me. And I know what she's saying by that. But I said, you know, I didn't know your father was cremated. I helped do his funeral, but I didn't know that he was cremated afterwards. And she said, we cremated him afterwards. Well, when I was a little boy growing up, we didn't cremate. As a matter of fact, the Protestant church as a whole did not cremate. It was not something we did. Matter of fact, it was probably a sin to cremate, to tell you the truth. You just didn't do that. Catholics could do that, and Episcopalians could do that, but I had in my first probably 30 years of ministry one cremation, and now over 50% of them are cremation. The over 50% right now, right? 53% are cremation. In 10 years, they're going to say it's going to be about 70-something percent is going to be cremation. I'm saying all that to say this. Things changed. Perspectives changed. And I had this, as I grew in the Lord, as I started pastoring in January 1976, and as I grew in the Lord and I kept growing, probably about 10 years into it, the more I studied about God and the more I saw His love and His mercy, and I couldn't relate to a God burning up the world, His creation. That didn't register with me. Their scripture appears to say that, okay? Peter, I'm fixing to read a scripture out of Peter, and Peter says at the end of 2 Peter, he says, there are things that the Apostle Paul wrote which are difficult to understand, and some people have twisted what he said to their own destruction. They twisted it. And when I do funerals now, so often we go to the cemetery, and I don't do this, but it's often said, you know, this body is going to be resurrected one day. In the Bible, it appears. There's a scripture that appears. That's what it's saying. But when you rightly divide the Word of God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said the body that is sown in the earth is not the body that shall be that raised up. That's not the same. That body, the Bible says, goes back to the dust, and your spirit returns to God, and there's an earthly body, which is this body, and there's a heavenly body for which we really don't know anything about yet, because it's a different body than this body. It is a spiritual body that we don't know exactly what that looks like, but I know this. It's not the body sown into the earth. The body that's sown into the ground will never come out of the ground. There's a scripture that appears to say that, but there are much more other scriptures that rightly divide the word of truth, and that's not how it's going to happen. The moment you die, you go to heaven, and you get a body that's perfect. I can't explain it. Never seen it yet, so I can't explain it to you. Aren't you glad? I can't explain it to you. I don't know what my daddy looks like right now. I don't know what my mother looks like right now. I don't know. But one day I will. But it's not the body that was broken, that was dying. The day you're born, you start dying. How many know that? The day you're born, you know, there's a scripture, Paul said, I die daily. And Christians took that and means I spiritually got to die daily. No, you're dying daily. Your body is decaying. I hate that. I know that's not real good news on Father's Day. But come on, I'm 68 years old now, and I'm not the same body that I had at 40. Right? It's a good one. I'm treating it pretty well. I'm pretty proud of it. I'm not I don't hate it. I love it. But I got, anyway. So let me read it. I couldn't relate to the God of the universe. How many fathers are here? Come on, raise your hand. How many of you would burn up your creation? None of us. Of course not. You'd be called a tyrant. You'd be called an abusive. I mean, there's not a word to describe a person that would burn up his creation. Is there? Is there a word that could describe? How can we, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does the Father in heaven give to us? And so I couldn't relate to this. There are scriptures that appear, again, that appears to say that, but you have to rightly divide the word of truth and know that's not. See, the Bible interprets itself. The greatest interpreter of the Bible is not commentaries. The greatest interpreter of the Bible is not preachers. The greatest interpreter of the Bible is the Bible. It interprets itself. That's good stuff. It interprets, it says something over here and he clarifies it over here. He says something here and he clarifies it over here. And that's why it's an endless, inexhaustible story of God's dealing with a planet he created and a planet that he loves. Aren't you glad of that? Can you imagine? You know, I thought, I ain't got but two gift cards. I thought I'm going to give it in private so I don't hurt anybody else's feelings. Then I thought, that's stupid. Y'all are more mature than that. Y'all rejoice because these two got the cards, right? Yeah, that's what Christianity is all about. It's about rejoicing over others. Amen. Anyway, so Peter says something, and I want to tell you what he's saying, okay? And let the Bible interpret the Bible. In 2 Peter 3, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this. Now, how many know destruction is not always annihilation of something? There's things in my life that's been destroyed that wasn't annihilated. Matter of fact, some things I destroyed that wasn't annihilated. God loves this planet. Jet said to Dusty the other day she was about to step on a roach. And this younger generation's got it. They're getting it more and more. Jet said, what did he do to you? Just take him outside. What has he done to you? Just take him outside. Now I know we can maybe exaggerate some things, but I like that. I like the fact that some people love this planet. I like the fact that there's just people cleaning up the ocean. I like the fact that some people are seeing this beautiful earth that he created, that he's not going to destroy. He's going to renew it. He's going to restore it. He's going to replenish it, but he's not going to destroy it. So Peter said, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt in flames. Oh, that sounds like the earth's burning up, doesn't it? I mean, if you just read that, I mean, it kind of sounds like, but no, it's not. No, we're looking forward to the new heavens and a new earth, and that new is not brand new, it's renewed, and he has promised a world filled with righteousness. That's a beautiful scripture if you see it in the light that we need to see it in. That's not beautiful to me. If I see the heavens on fire, the earth on fire, flames everywhere, I mean, I just don't see, I can't be looking forward to that. That makes sense. Finis J. Dake was one of the biggest Pentecostal commentary writers there was, and he wrote a whole Bible called the Annotated Bible. Not even write a Bible. It's a huge, big old Bible that has side things. Finis J. Dake. Finis J. Dake knew all of the Hebrew. He knew all Greek words by recall. He didn't have to look them up. He didn't have to go to Strong's Concordance to get a what a Hebrew word meant and what a Greek word meant. And in this passage of Scripture, on the side page of his, he says this: the elements are the principles or basic elements of this present world system of evil spirits, sinful and fallen nature, disease, germs, corruption, and all the elements by which men corrupt themselves. Hallelujah. Now that I want to see burned up, don't you? I want to see disease burned up. I want to see destructive theology, but I want to see things that aren't really helpful and good burned up, don't you? Jesus said this. John said, there's one coming after me, and he said, I'm not worthy to baptize, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, is he going to burn you up? No, he's just going to burn some things up in your life that needs to be burned up. We're going to talk more about this Holy Ghost and fire. I don't even like that term. I don't even like it when you say, baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. See, I came up Pentecostal, and we can say that. But if you Pentecostal say that to somebody else, they get all shaky. And I'm talking about the Holy Ghost and fire to me. That sounds a little bit too radical. Look at this scripture, Galatians 4, 8 through 9. Since everything before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves of so-called gods that did not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once again to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? Or what he's saying is the rudiments, the elementary rules and principles of world systems. See, that's what God wants to be burned up, are the principles of a world that's not his principles. God's got principles that are good for us, that are helpful for us. What he wants to get rid of is thinking that's not like his thinking. With me? Colossians 2:8, he said, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. And then in 1 John 2:15 through 17, I don't think I gave you those scriptures. It's okay. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, not of the Father, but of the world. And that world passes away. What world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life vanishes away. But God's ways remain. Hallelujah. God's ways will remain forever. This earth one day, will be filled with the righteousness of God. There's a lot going on today, and I don't have a problem with it. Chasing your ancestry and going back and seeing, you know, where you came from. And that's fine, you don't do that. But you don't, y'all are not taking it back far enough. Grandma Bob and Aunt Sue and Uncle Bunk. I had an uncle named Bunk. And Aunt Gertrude. That's fine. You want to know who all of them are. But you need to go all the way back to where you came from. You came from God. That's where you came from. And James said, how can you bless God and then curse man who's made in the likeness and the image of God? And until we as a church get to the place where we see every single person on the planet created in the likeness and the image of God. That's how God sees it. See, God sees it as everybody's his children. Everybody. Now that stretches me. It stretches me. How many say it's okay to be stretched? God's been stretching me for my whole ministry. As a matter of fact, I sometimes get upset with God and say, I'm tired of stretching. I really do. And I get upset with God because I say to God, you know, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm getting old and I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of preaching stuff and preaching truth that maybe is not so popular. And I read a scripture this week and it gave me a total different light on it. He says, there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They only want to hear what they want to hear. Now, I used to take that was this kind of stuff or whatever, but no. Sometimes truth that's radical and changing, people don't want to hear that. Because, you know, it changes. You know, it's a big change to where instead of going, one day you're going to die and burn in hell, and I'm glad of it. I'm glad that all the bad people are going to be burned up. I'm glad one day this earth is going to be burned up. I grew up and put all the everything you want on a credit card. I'm going to leave it here for the Antichrist. Well, has he paid it off yet? No, and he's not. He's not going to pay it off. So don't think that that's going to happen. Well, is Jesus coming soon? I don't know when he's coming. Nobody knows when he's coming. But I want to tell you one thing, not in your lifetime. And that right there, I'll probably get all kind of feedback from outside of here. Oh, tell me Jesus not coming. I don't want to die. Why? Christianity gets me sometimes. I know what we say this all the time. Well, it beats beats the alternative. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that dying is worse than living? Do we really believe that? If we do, we don't believe the scriptures. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. How can this be better than that? Right? I don't want to die, but it's not because it's not better for me. I don't want it because of my children, my grandchildren. I want to be here for them because I'm awesome for them. I'm awesome for them. I don't want them hurting because I'm gone. That's the reason. I don't want them hurting. If they weren't here, I didn't have any heritage. I didn't have that. I'd have a little different attitude. I think I'd have a little different attitude. We gotta be Christian. Let's be Christian. Let's embrace it all. Embrace it all. Amen. Embrace it all. How you doing? Well, I'm above ground. That mean you better? So everybody in the ground is not as well as you? Or do we believe there's a heaven and there's a heavenly body that's greater than this body? I say, oh, I wish my daddy could see John Henry and Anna and Jet. I say that, then I catch myself and go, I wish I could see him see them. I wish I could see him see them. Because he sees them. I just wish I could see that. I wish I could experience his love for them. Y'all getting this? I know some of you believe this, and some of you go, whoa, that's the first time I ever heard this. But it's true. I was born to preach this. I was born to preach the kingdom. I was born to preach the kingdom. I taught that my daughter would never graduate from high school. Jesus would come before she'd graduate from high school. Believe that with all my heart. Thank God I have enough sense to still save for a college. Because I had to pay for it. Antichrist didn't have anything to do with it. Didn't send me one penny to help pay for her college. Not a penny. No. I don't want to be. I'm not trying to be arrogant, or I'm not trying to be anything other than telling you the truth. God's a loving God. How did a loving God destroy his creation? How? Does that register with you? Come on, does it register? Of course not. You won't do it. So in Genesis it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Or the Spirit of God, one translation says, was incubating over the waters. The Spirit of God was incubating over the waters. Everything begins with resurrection. Everything begins with restoration, but restoration comes by resurrection. Let me explain that. Restoration, God started restoring your life when He resurrected Christ in you. One thing for Him being resurrected over 2,000 years ago from a tomb, but the greatest resurrection of all is when He's resurrected in you. When the Spirit of the living God taps into your spirit and the creation, the image and the likeness that you were created in comes alive in you, and all of a sudden you become a spiritual being having a human experience and not a human having a spiritual experience. You became a spiritual being that is awakened. You were born again from on high. Your first birth was natural. Your second birth was spiritual. And now the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, has been resurrected in you. And He's resurrected in you. And this is what's happening in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible, the restoration of the earth is taking place. Not the creation of it, the restoration of it. The Bible says in Isaiah that when it was created perfect. In Genesis 1, there's no perfect earth. It's without form, it's void, and the Spirit of God is hovering over it. And all of a sudden, God's word begins to come and says, let there be light, and there was light. All of a sudden, there's a resurrection happening, and all of a sudden, there's fruitfulness happening in the earth, just like it happens in our life. Once I was dead and trespassing in sin, then I was enlightened, and the Spirit of God got a hold of me. Let me tell you something about the Spirit of God. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough anymore. I found out something long ago, that we apply the blood like that. We apply the word like that. But I found out in restoring people's lives, we can apply the blood and have forgiveness. We can apply the word and get some direction. But man, if the power of the Holy Spirit's not ignited in that person's life, they won't be able to have restoration happen. If Jesus said, it's expedient that I go to heaven, because if I go to heaven, He will come and take up His, old King James says, take up His abode in you. Matter of fact, Jesus said the Father and the Son and the Spirit will take up their abode in you. Say abode. But you won't get this any other way. You'll remember this, because you probably never said that. When I was growing up, somebody said, that's where He abodes. Did you ever have a great grandfather, uncle, somebody say, well, He abodes there. I mean, He lives there. It's where He dwells. It's an old English. That's their abode. That's where they abode. Heaven's come to abode in you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit comes to abode in me, live in me. That's why Jesus says, I got to go. Because if I'm with you, I'm with you, but I'm not with somebody else. How do you know Jesus, when He was on the earth, He couldn't be everywhere? When He was with His disciples, He was with them. When He was with the multitude, He was with them. But when He was with them, He wasn't with them. But now He's with everybody at all times, 24 hours a day. If you ascend into heaven, He's there. If you ascend into the hell, He's there. Wherever you go, He's there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's there. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will cause this restoration to take place. And once the restoration takes place, then there's a renewing that has to continue. Day in, day out, renew. That's how you keep the restoration. I keep renewing it. I have to have renewal every day of my life. I have to keep renewing my mind about what I really believe. I have to renew my mind that everybody's created in the likeness and the image of God, because I see people sometimes and I do not believe that. In my eyeballs, my eyeballs, how many of your eyeballs would deceive you? but your spirit won't. Because I see some people sometimes, and I see the way they act, and I just can't believe they are created in the likeness and the image of God. I can't believe that. Sometimes you look at your kids, you can't believe that either. You cannot believe that that's creation in the likeness and the image of God, because they're certainly not acting like it. But they are. Everybody you see on this planet, until the church wakes up and realizes everybody is created in the likeness and the image of God. There's a love of God that is so far exceeds anything, I believe. There's a love that Paul talked about. He says, I pray that the God, I bow my knees before heaven, that you would comprehend how deep and how high and how long the love of God is. That you would know it. It's a love that passes knowledge. What does that mean? It passes what you know about somebody and makes you love them anyway. Oh, that one hurt. That's what Christianity is about. Then I just have to renew my mind over and over and over again about that. Then he told Adam and Eve, he said, I want you to go and take dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, and over every living thing. I want you to fill the earth. Say replenish the earth. Restoration comes by passion. You got to be passionate. Galatians chapter 6, he said, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore them. Restore them. And he said this. He said, restore them in a spirit of gentleness. A spirit of gentleness. How many knows that goes for any kind of restoration? It's a medical term, restore. Means someone who's got a broken arm, it's out of joint. Be gentle. Restore it gently. They're hurting. They're hurting. Restore them gently. Be careful. Don't mishandle them. Be nice. Be kind. How many want people to be kind to you? When I mess up, I don't want to be judged. Let me tell you how people respond to judgment. They don't. They react to it. Let me tell you how they respond to criticism. They don't. They react to it. Be gentle how you restore. Restore others. Restore yourself. And then restore the earth. What are we here for? What is my purpose here on this earth for? Restore it. Renew it. Replenish it. Replenish it means its purpose. I get so tired of hearing people, what's my purpose? What am I here for? I've seen people at 80 years old go, why am I here? Why am I here? Why? Well, go fishing. Why am I here? Why am I here? You are here. Will you allow me the opportunity right now to tell you why you're here? And you won't ever ask that question anymore. Okay? Well, who are you? Tell me why I'm here. I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you what God says. God says you're here for this reason. You're here to restore, renew, and replenish the earth. That's why you're here. In your purpose, that's your purpose. And when you fill the earth, your purpose is happening. Paul said in Ephesians 4, he says, notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended into the world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. You know, there's some other scriptures I read. Please bear witness with me. Please bear with me. There are scriptures that don't appear to say that. They don't. There are scriptures that don't appear to say that one day he's going to fill the universe with himself. There are scriptures that appear But if you rightly divide the word of truth, you will see that's not what's being said. It's not what's being said. When somebody told me one time, said they believed in reconciliation of all things, and then they came to me and said, why don't you? Why don't you? Well, I don't want to see. The moment you say you don't want to see something shows where your heart is. Let's say you believe that there's a burning hell, and one day there are people going to be cast. Let's say you believe the earth's going to be burned up one day. It's going to be wiped out. What should be your attitude, though, toward people in this world creating the likeness and the image of God right now? You don't want them to go. You don't want that to happen. That should be the attitude, whether we even believe it. Even when I was a young Pentecostal preacher beginning, my Uncle Andrew looked at me and said, son, if you can't preach about hell without a tear in your eye, don't you ever mention it. Because sometimes hell's preached like some people are glad that people are going there. That shouldn't be our attitude. Regardless of your doctrine, whatever you believe about the eschatology and end times, whatever you believe, one thing you need to believe with all your heart: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You got to believe that, because that's the two big commandments that Jesus said hang everything on. The law and the prophets have ever said on those two commandments. And I'll just throw in this. Is God going to tell you to love like that and he not? Sounded like some things earthly fathers say to their kids. Don't do as I say. Yeah, that's how some fathers raise their kids. Don't do as I say. I mean, glad God does as he says and does as he does. He gave gifts to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge. We'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. We'll no longer be immature like children tossed to and fro. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing up in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of this body. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as does each its own special work. It helps those parts to grow. It helps us to get to the place where we're restoring and renewing and replenishing the earth, and that is your purpose. That is your purpose. Every single day. You probably got up this morning and you said, I'm going to church. Well, you weren't going to church. You are the church. You just come to a gathering place. You can say every single day, I'm going to work. I'm going to church. I'm going to the golf course. I'm going to church. I'm taking the church wherever I go. I'm going fishing this week. I'm going to church. I'm going to church. I'm going to be out there looking at this beautiful creation that God created, knowing that it's going to last forever. And it thrills my heart. Thrills my heart. God is a loving, kind, gracious Father that we have to pattern ourselves after. Amen. Let's stand together for a moment. If you keep this in your heart and mind on a continual basis of how you love your children and what you want for your children, you'll see the heart of God. You'll see the heart of God. How many would agree with that? You see the heart of God when you see how you love your children, how you love your grandchildren, how you love your posterity. You see the heart of God in that. That's how God loves. And more than that, he even loves beyond that. But that's the only way you could even begin to comprehend. And if you can love that way, how much more does he love us? How much more? And the thing that's going to restore and renew and replenish this earth is when our attitudes are all the same. And that's my attitude. I don't know all doctrine. The older I get, the less I know. But I'll teach and preach what I see to the best of my ability until I see it differently. But I do know one thing that has never, ever changed. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Wow. There appears scripture. It appears says one thing, but believe me, it doesn't. I'm going to say this and I'm going to pray. I really am. Ushers will be coming. We'll have a baptism in a moment. The ushers are doing this. Have you ever said something? Tried to explain something? And you didn't quite say it the way that somebody heard it? And what they interpreted you as saying was what appeared to them you said. Has that ever happened to you? Well, look at me. It happens to me all the time. All the time it happens to me. At church, outside church, it happens to me all the time. You appeared to have said this, but you didn't. The Bible interprets the Bible. The Bible is a revelation of itself from Genesis to Revelation. It is revealing itself. Revealing itself. It is revealing itself. And what appears to be something said here is not what's being said here. You say, Bjorn, that can be confusing only if you let it be confusing. Only if you let it be confusing. Aren't you glad that God, you can just keep learning and keep knowing? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the Father that you are. And Jesus, you said mercy triumphs over judgment. And we believe that that's the God that we serve, who triumphs over judgment. Thank you for loving us even when we don't love you. Thank you for leading us and guiding us into all truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making God and Jesus so real in our lives. Thank you. We love you. Amen.
Tasha Creamer, and get baptized so I can make a public confession that I am a Christian. I'm Cake.
He's mine. Hello. Hey, we're going to do something a little bit different for the end of the service. So we all know that there's lots of different expressions of worship. Most of the time we do that by playing music. Sometimes that gets jumbled up, I think, and isn't always the purest form. So to end the service today on the theme of renewal, I want to focus on the three themes of the songs that we played today. So I am listening to God and knowing that he tells you who you are and not all your doubts and different things that you think about yourself. And then mercy and the times that you've delighted in showing mercy. I've shared with Lauren and Dusty that I think I show mercy a lot, or I feel that, but I don't know how many times I delight in that, how much I love doing that. And then the last thing is wholeness. So peace is about feeling whole, and I think there's a lot of people that feel broken. So we're just going to do something different, and we're going to sit here for a second, and we're all going to close our eyes, and we're going to think about those things and the times that we've experienced those things, and have a moment of worship and quietness with each other as a time to renew at the beginning of our week. So going into the week with just holding on to these great things and these themes that we've listened to today. So we're going to have a moment of quietness, and then we're going to say some prayers, and then we'll go home. But if we can just all think about those things for just a minute. Love the feeling of being quiet with a bunch of people. It's good energy. I'm going to call some people out to come say some prayers. Jason, will you come pray for us to listen to God and who we are and our I ams?
He's a good God, isn't he? Father, we come before you right now to say thank you. Your word says to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Thank you for being a good father to us. Right now, I just ask that you would remind us of who we are. And help us to hold on to those good things that you call us, that you speak over us, that you say to us, that you whisper to us. Help our ears to hear in the quiet moments those things that you're constantly trying to remind us of. Thank you for your goodness that constantly surrounds us, and the energy of that goes with us each day, in your son's name.
Linda, will you come pray for us to show more mercy and to delight in those things?
thank you that you are an awesome Father. And I thank you for all that you have created. When I look out in nature and I see the beauty of a flower, the beauty of a tree, the beauty of the animals you've created, the order you've put in this earth, that you did it all out of love for us. You gave us such mercy when we needed mercy, and we've always needed mercy. Father, we thank you that you do not judge us, but that you look at us with the eyes of pure love, and that we just glorify your name today. We honor you because you are, as the song says, you're a good, good Father. So we praise you, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you that we can live in this world knowing we are not judged. Thank you, Father.
Kate, will you come pray for us and for the people that are broken and need to experience God's wholeness in their life?
Jesus, I just thank you that you love us as deeply as you love us. Father, I just pray right now that those that feel broken, that are hurting, that feel helpless, that are struggling, that are needing to see that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that this isn't there forever, that there's going to be change. Father, I just pray that they feel you, that they feel the surrounding love and the strength of you lifting them up and holding them and carrying them through it. And Father, that light is seen and hope resides. And I just thank you, God, that you're so good to do that for all of us every day in the little moments that we are overwhelmed and even in the huge moments that we're devastated. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
So we love you. I'm glad that we got to have this day together. So go in renewal and peace.